Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Hare Rama, Rama Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama,
Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Prestaya Bhutale, Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namane, Namaste Saraswati Deve, Gauravani Pracharine, Nirvishesha Sunyavadi, Paskatya Desitarine, Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhar, Srivas Adi Gaura Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. So tonight, we will continue with our beautiful Leela. We have already heard how Krishna, as a small child, misbehaved and then ran away in fear, which prompted his mother to tie him up, which is a simple thing to do. After all, it is possible to bind up any limited object by surrounding it on the outside. But how does one bind up something which has no outside and it has also no inside? Where does one place the rope? An example for us to understand this difficulty is an attempt to bind up the wind. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has no beginning, no end, no exterior, no interior, no front, no rear. In other words, he is all-pervading. Because he is not under the influence of time, for him, there is no difference between past, present, and future. He exists in his own transcendental form at all times, being absolute and beyond relativity. He is free also from distinctions like cause and effect. Although he is the cause and the effect of everything, this unmanifest person, who is beyond the perception of the senses, has now appeared as the human child. And Mother Yasoda, considering him to be her own ordinary child, bound him to the wooden mortar with a rope. Now, let us hear more about this remarkable event. So we heard previously that although Yasoda eagerly desired to tie Krishna up, at first she met with no success, only total exhaustion. Hundreds and hundreds of ropes were tied together, and yet when she attempted to tie that final knot, she found that the rope, she couldn't make them meet. The rope was 2 fingers too short. She could not bind him up. Krishna's unwillingness to be bound induced his Leela Shakti to display his unlimited powers, which are always present, even when they are unmanifest. He was not willing to be bound, but she was determined to exhaust all her strength, all her energy, all her might to bind him up. And all Yasoda's hard work bore fruit when Krishna, out of compassion for her, allowed himself to be bound. By extending his mercy, he saved his beloved mother from further anger and frustration. Yasoda's motherly love was prepared to completely exhaust itself in determination to give everything for his sake. And it is Krishna's joy to experience such pure, complete love. He was her son. She knew nothing more. She was responsible for training him, for raising him correctly, and despite his displaying his infinite nature before his mother, that infinity was not perceived by her due to her giving her whole attention to the fullness of his charm and beauty. Could there be any greater joy for him than being bound by such a loving mother? Hence, like an ordinary child, like one tying an elephant to a post, she tied him with soft silken ropes to the mortar which he had used for stealing and distributing butter. And now, having accomplished her desired intention, she stands proudly examining her work. Before her sits her young son with a rope tied around his beautiful waist. There is a look of triumph in her eyes, and Krishna wants to see her triumphant. And therefore, he has allowed himself to be bound like a fully punishable child. But actually, however, it is not her triumph, but rather it is a triumph for his sake. And therefore it is his triumph. She is wholly ignorant of her son's unlimited powers because she is completely absorbed in his sweetness, and her affection, the affection of her heart, eclipses everything else. Out of affection, she knows he is her child and she is his mother, and she considers herself to be stronger and therefore fully responsible to correct his fickle behavior. Neither the revelation of his infinity or unlimited powers, nor the fact that it was his mercy that made it possible for her to bind him, neither of those has disturbed Yasoda's experience of her son as the fullness of unlimited, charming beauty. So you say, Yasoda now takes a quick look at the faces of the surrounding ladies who do not believe their eyes. And after so much hard work and so many hours and hours of effort and piles of ropes, she has managed to bind Krishna using that first silk rope from her hair. She looks at her small son, sobbing, crying, rubbing his eyes. His head is lowered and his eyes are downcast. She calls to his cowherd friends who are nearby And she tells them, watch him very carefully. And if somehow he tries to free himself, you must call me immediately. Is that clear? The boys nod their heads. But both Krishna and the boys remain quiet until his mother turns in the direction of her private chambers and, accompanied by a host of village ladies who are still astonished at what just took place, they leave together. Yasoda is actually not concerned that Krishna might go anywhere because she is perfectly convinced that he would not be able to move this heavy mortar and nor to free himself from the tight knots that she has made. So now she can go on with the other ladies and continue with her household activities. And now she's gone. The moment she departed, Krishna stopped crying. His beautiful face assumed a peaceful, effulgent glow like the luminous moonshine. And then, after a short while, a mischievous smile returned. His friends are all here. It's time to play. How could this foolish mortar not become part of their fun? Surrounded by his boyfriends, he tugs playfully at the rope, and the mortar falls on its side, and then it rolls along behind him as he crawls freely amidst the cheers and laughter of the other boys. Without any effort, he drags the heavy mortar. It doesn't even cross his mind that this bondage is an obstacle to play. With many jokes, he makes all the boys loudly laugh. And then, amidst their merry laughter, he drags the mortar here and there, at first quite slowly, but then faster and faster. He becomes excited by the prospect of moving it to all sorts of many different places. Although tied up, his confidence is increasing by the surrounding friends. He plays with them whilst joking and laughing and smiling and moving the mortar here and there whilst they joke and they laugh. He pulls that mortar beyond his own compound and out onto the pathway leading to the village road. Then, passing by the houses of those gopis who had come to watch Yasoda or assist with their ropes from home, he instructs his small friends to enter into their empty homes and steal their butter, which is hanging in their pots. And thus, he enjoys very blissful, playful, naughty activities, even whilst pulling the heavy mortar behind him. But he does not even try to release himself by untying the ropes, either by his own hands, nor to convince anyone else to untie them. Although he's free to play, he is bound firmly by his mother's love. And then, from a distance, he notices those two tall Arjuna trees growing in front of his father's residence. These two trees are connected at the root in the shape of a V, but they are not ordinary trees. As the universe is vast and broad, these two trees stand stout and strong. Known as the pair of Arjun trees, they remind everyone of the great heroes, Arjuna and Kartvirya Arjun. Or, like Nalakuvera and Manigriva, like Nakul and Sahadev, like Nakul and Sahadev, the two trees are considered to be twins. Their mighty trunks have grown together. As a great king has the qualities of valor and achievement, or as a mountain range possesses steadiness, or as a cluster of clouds are laden with showers. Similarly, these two trees display an abundance of natural opulences. Tall and powerful, they have been standing here for a very, very long time, with their leaves dancing in the breeze. And now, suddenly, they have entered into the pathway of Krishna's eyes, and he moves towards them. His friends, whilst laughing, joking, and playing, they think, oh, perhaps Krishna cannot tolerate the scorching heat of the sun, so he's seeking some shade under the trees. Krishna saw the trees, and he began to consider. These two souls have become trees by the curse of Narada because of pride and intoxication due to wealth. Because they had been elevated to the association of Lord Shiva, of whom they were very much proud, they were allowed to wander in the gardens attached to Kailash Hill. On the bank of the Mandukini River, taking advantage of this, they used a drink, a kind of liquor called Varuni. And once, accompanied by the singing of beautiful young women, they wandered there, naked, in that garden of flowers. Their eyes were rolling in intoxication. And once, at that time, the great sage Narada was passing their way. And seeing him, these girls immediately became afraid and hid themselves in shame. But the two brothers were maddened by their wealth and intoxicated with pride. And even though Narada was standing there before them, they did not feel ashamed. And because of their opulence, they had lost their sense of common decency. It is often the nature of materialistic life that when one becomes wealthy and proud, they lose their sense of discrimination and they do not care about anyone, even a sage like Narada. Therefore, Narada decided to set an example by cursing these two to become trees. Yet, since it is the nature of a devotee to always be merciful, he cursed them to become not just any kind of trees, but two trees growing in Mahavan. And they were fully conscious. They could recall their past and their present activities which were going on around them. By Narada's blessings, these two trees were to attain a direct meeting with Krishna, through which they would become free of all their corruption. That mercy would fully manifest after the curse had diminished their offenses. And then the real form of that mercy would appear. Thus they were born as twin Arjuna trees and remained there outside the courtyard of Yasoda and Nanda, awaiting the opportunity to see Krishna directly. Just as clouds abound in the rainy season, or as water becomes clear and pure in autumn, these demigods embodied in the two trees had become purified by suffering for many, many years. And now, deciding to bestow his full mercy upon them, Krishna dragged the grinding mortar tied around his belly towards those two trees, while his playmates cheered him on. He went along the pathway between the two trees, but the pathway was so narrow and it sloped downwards, and so the mortar became stuck. And then, desiring to bring down the trees, he started to pull the mortar harder and harder. And then, with a slight jerk of the mortar, Krishna easily uprooted those two trees, huge trees, in one moment. A terrible roaring sound arose as the trees fell down. And all the inhabitants of Braj, other than those who were deaf, could not maintain their composure on hearing that sound. The loud cracking filled the air when the trees split open. This unique vibration, which conquered all other sounds, raced through the sky and punctured a hole in the coverings of the universe. The sound exactly resembled the terrible sound produced by the fierce thunderbolts at the time of devastation. And Krishna sat calm and joyful amidst this terrible tumult. He who is eternally free appeared to be bound to the grinding mortar. He whose character is eternally pure appeared to be stained by his pastime of stealing. And although he can liberate everyone in material existence, he himself was bound by the loving affection of his mother. And now, by the desire of his devotee Narada, he uprooted these Jamal Arjun trees. And thereafter, in that very spot where the two trees had fallen, two great perfect personalities appeared, brilliant like fire personified. They came out of the trees, their effulgent beauty illuminating all directions. And Krishna sat, still tied to the mortar, whilst these two demigods understood him as the Lord of the universe. They gained this realization by the mercy of Narada. Although they were great offenders, they gave up their shame and they came to his side because he is the shelter of all beings. Because of their association with the land of Braj from their very birth and their continued remembrance of their former lives, they now offered purified obeisances with folded hands, and they spoke their prayers. "We have been delivered by Narada," they said, "and that was your plan. Everything is known to you. Although we stayed here as Arjun trees, you came as a small boy to deliver us. You are the Supreme Person, so you can do everything. Nobody except you is the cause of bondage. You are the Lord because everything is one with you. And we are worthy of your mercy because we are now devoid of offense. Since you are the inspiration behind all actions and because you are naturally the sole controller internally and externally, how can one who is trapped in a body of material qualities in this material world understand you? We offer our respects to you, from whom everything becomes possible." So Krishna had shown them his unlimited power. And although the trees in which they were embodied were so large that even many elephants would not have been able to move them, as a little child, he effortlessly uprooted the trees which 1,000 hands could not have uprooted. And he also gave supernatural power to the rope and the mortar as well. now, singing his sweet names. The two demigods offered Krishna their request with great devotion. And this is what they said. O giver of auspiciousness and happiness, henceforward may our words, all our words, describe your pastimes. May our ears engage in the reception of your glories. May our hands and legs and other senses engage in acts to please you. May our minds always think of your lotus feet. And may our heads offer obeisances to everything in this world, because all things are also your different forms. And may our eyes see the saintly devotees who are non-different from you. We are your followers and Narada's servants. So you should be very merciful to us. We pray for something rarely given to others. May we speak continuously of your qualities and your affection for your devotees. May we offer respects to all the people of Braj, even though they are very far away from us. Hearing their requests, Krishna smiled broadly and replied to the sons of Kuvera. He said, since Narada has blessed you and made you devotees, go to him. Your desire to be always absorbed in my service and to develop love and devotion for me will be fulfilled, and you will never again fall from that platform. There is no more material existence for you. Although Sri Krishna is the master of all, and certainly the master of Gokul, here he stands, bound by a wooden mortar, by the ropes of Yasoda, and therefore he smiled while thinking, these two minor devatas have been bound up by my mercy, and I have delivered them from the bondage of standing for a long, long time as trees. But as for me, I am bound by the ropes of my mother and subject to her chastisements. She scolds me instead of praising me. Yet, out of love, I stay in Gokul. the love I have for the scoldings of the Vrajavasis is much more precious to me than the praises I receive from these sons of Kuvera. First of all, I'm bound up by a mere rope and to a mortar of all things. These two devatas did not laugh seeing this, but I laughed. In obedience to my mother's will, this mortar has helped to bind me up. And hence, with folded hands, those devatas have offered respects to the mortar as well. They did. They repeatedly offered respects. And they circumambulated him, since they realized the sweetness in this pastime, in which he was controlled by the love of his devotee. And then, reluctantly, they took his permission, and then they left. But do you know, there is still more to hear of this pastime. Krishna is still tightly bound by his mother's love. So what happens next? Tomorrow night, we will hear how this beautiful story unfolds. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. Some devotees have approached us with informations of the unfortunate strife in Bangladesh, which has resulted in hatred towards Hinduism in general and also our movement in specific, and they wanted to request that we do something or dedicate a kirtan for them. So I suggest we all move a little inside and we chant the protective prayers which Srila Prabhupada gave us for protecting the spiritual master and also the movement. We can all chant this together. Please join me. Namaste Narasinghaya Palalala Radayane Hiranyakasipo Vakshaha Silatanka Yato yato yamita to nisingha vahe nisingha Radhaye, Singho, Narasingha Mare, Sharana Prabhupade,
Narasingha Mare, Sharana Prabhupade. Sharanam Prabhupada,
Narasingha Sharanam Prabhupada,
Narasingha Madhim Sharanam Prabhupada,
Sharanam Prabhupada,
Avakara Kamala Pade. Sringam Dalita Yanyakasipo Tanu Bringam Kesavadita Nadahari Rupa Jayagadisa Hare Jaya Jagadisha Hare, Jaya Jagadisha Hare,
Avakara Kamala Vare,
Naka Madhuta Singham, Dalita Jaya Jagadisha, Jaya Jagadisha, Jaya Jagadisha Hare, Jaya Jagadisha Hare, Jaya Jagadisha Hare,
Jaya Jagadisha, Jaya Jagadisha, Jaya Jagadisha Hare, Jaya Jagadisha Hare,
Jaya Jagadisha
Hare, Jaya Narasingha Dev, Narasingha Dev, Narasingha Dev, Narasingha Dev,
Jaya
Jaya Narasingha Dev, Narasingha Dev, Narasingha Dev, Jaya Narasingha Dev,
Jaya Narasingha Dev, Narasingha Dev, Narasingha Dev, Jaya Narasingha Dev,
Jaya Prahlad Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj, Jaya Prahlad Maharaj,
Jaya Prahlad Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj, Jaya Prahlad Maharaj.
As we were contemplating this morning, one of Krishna's seven oceans of his very sweet character is his audarya, his benevolence, his unrestricted kindness to hearts all. And as we heard in the 11th canto, there is this mandate where Krishna says that his devotees should think and act for the welfare of others. And if they do so, then he will give them his very self. So not only has Krishna this sweetness, sweet ocean of benevolence, but also his devotees try to be agents of his kindness by distributing the glories of his pastimes, especially the holy name, all around. So we will sing now our kirtan that concludes more or less this wonderful and great great day. Namo. Please join me. Vishnu Padaya. Where is your voice?
Krishna Prasthaya Utale. Shimate
Dear devotees, as we are discussing Smaranam, please let us always return to the basic understanding, which here is Nam Smaranam. To do Nam Smaranam, try to hold the holy name for an extent of time in your mind. Let it pass through your mind. Some scriptures say like a waterfall, a little bit like Ganga, who has come from another dimension into our world. Let it wash our consciousness and our heart clean so that naturally Krishna will manifest there in his beautiful form and his qualities. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna.
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna
together now.
Krishna, Krishna, Hare.
Everybody, one more time, please. Time, please.
Hare Krishna.
Govindam Hare Rama
of Giriraj, and hopefully when you chant from your heart right into his own heart, so that his audaya jaladi, the ocean of his benevolence, becomes sweeping in our direction. So from your heart to your vocal cords,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Prabhupada.
Jaya Giri Govardhan, Giri Govardhan, Giri Govardhan, Jaya Giri Govardhan.
Krishna. Hari Hari Bo. Please take your comfortable seat. Thank you, Brahma Theater, for your enlivened dancing. We make a dancer out of him. Hare Krishna. So, my dear devotees, I don't have so much to say this evening, only that I'm excusing myself for ending so early. We are just, I see a few very enlivened chanters, but tomorrow is another full day. Something in us may tell us, oh, it's over now. One more day, it's really over. But please, I can only say this is a unique opportunity. It's only once in a year maximum. For some of us, we are not regularly coming to the Govardhan retreats, and it's more rare. So tomorrow, let us really be present there, keep the energy high. Also during, or let us say in between the sessions, you're doing this actually very well. When we look out and see you doing the pauses, you're engaged either in chanting, some of you are restoring or recuperating their energies, but it is a very nice and good energy. Let us just keep on doing this, and then the day after tomorrow is the closing session. I think everything goes well. Well, it's not possible really to ask. I would have to put you all into concentric circles maybe to try something new and asked how you are doing, but I think we all feel it is a very purifying experience, at times certainly challenging for us, but as we said, both, there's a song, both happiness and distress encountered in your service, my Lord, are equally good because they both make us forget the illusion of material life and form the attachment to you. So I want to ask our Prashanta, do you have something to say for tomorrow? Or everything is clear, same program, same place, and everything. But I think the voice of our Govardhan retreat looks very energetic this evening. Can we ask you to again guide us? Good. So it's nice to end on a high frequency. Would you like to go up there or here? Isn't it interesting? Now you see some of us really marked by old age. Can you see?
Speaking about Mars.
The person in my back. So, but the enthusiasm is still there, and isn't that endearing to see, no? No, you are very young, I agree. Hare Krishna.
Now you are all very young. Young with wonderful voices and wonderful desires to say Jai Jai Sri Radhe Sham, etc. You ready? Anyone not ready? Raise your hand. Okay. One, two, three.
Jai Jai Sri Radhe!
Jai Jai!
Giriraj. Baraj Giriraj. Baraj Giriraj. Jai.
So good night, everyone. Hare Krishna. See you tomorrow. Hari Bol.